Well, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, good day, wherever you are in the world. It's Paul Hopkins, VR Podcasting. I hope you're all well. It's February. February day three, and it's all about the workplace and your day at work kind of thing. So I thought of doing this lots of different ways. I thought of, you know, the bit of a train journey to work, recording a bit of that, bit of the bus, bit of the dog at lunchtime doing his thing, the guide dog that is, and recording some hubbub at work and all that. But to be honest, I mean, that's sort of quite difficult because, you know, you need to make sure people are on in with it and they're not necessarily always going to be. And in my own workplace particularly, there's a lot of sort of protocol around security and stuff like that, so decided that not to do it that way, but to be inspired by McFontaine. Did a in regard to February day three, which I heard this morning on the way into work. And he did things around his stuff that he's edited in the past and stuff to do with work that way. And I thought I'd do the same. So totally inspired by him, but obviously it'll be totally different projects and all the rest of it, totally different montage that you'll hear from me. But yeah, he's sort of semi-famous in audio boo land or audio boom land because he produces, records, produces, edits the Bletchley Park podcast, which is quite highly acclaimed. It's a really good podcast, so follow that, follow him. He is McFontaine, I believe. I hope I've got that right, but yeah, check him out. And so in his footsteps in some ways, I thought what I'd do is do a montage of some of the stuff that I've produced in the past. Now obviously some of it's going to be things like welcome to your new statement, you know, blah 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 blah, and it's all a bit like that. Or it could be, you know, things that we've done lots of stuff, lots and lots of audio around disability, hate crime, leaflets and producing those in audio, many many different things. What I thought I'd do is share the more sort of exciting stuff, and that's really by way of over a number of years I've worked with young visually impaired people to produce their audio magazine, all part of my work. But over the years they've become more accomplished, so, you know, rather than just sticking a recorder in a room and hoping that you'll pick up something that's worthwhile, having to go through hours and hours of audio, what they've done over the years, we've developed them so that they can be out there producing their own audio that I still edit and produce, but it's more of a hub and that kind of thing. So yeah, that's what we're going to do. I may need to try and come in and explain things as I go along, because it may not be abundantly clear if I don't. But basically these are things where, you know, the young people will basically be doing stuff or recording other people doing their stuff, interviewing them, capturing sound, and then I edit it, produce it, put sounds over it, put music to it, and all the rest of it. So yeah, I hope you enjoy this. I do appreciate that many of you are fantastic editors, producers out there, but have a listen to what you think, and I'll talk to it if necessary. Enjoy.
You are being connected to an Outlook Audio Magazine experience. Please hold.
Paralympian blind footballer Daniel English explains the rules, as well as doing a live demonstration at the Look AGM, commentated by our very own reporter for Yorkshire and the Humber, Mike Thornton.
Hello guys, my name's Daniel. I play football for England and Great Britain. I also work here at the college. And then you've got Lee.
Hello, I'm Lee. This is Daniel. I play for England and Great Britain. I've played football for about 5 years now, and I studied here at the college as well.
What we thought we'd do this afternoon was give you a bit of a demonstration about blind football. We talked to you a little bit about it because we don't know how many of you have seen it. And then we get used under some of the blindfolds and having a go if you fancied it.
Blind football is generally heavier than normal footballs.
Because in blind football we like the ball to sit on the floor so we can hear it better. So we don't let the ball come off the floor quite a lot. So what we'll do is, to start off with, we'll get you on the circle in the middle of the pitch with blindfolds on, and we'll just pass the ball around to see if you can do it without dropping the ball. Guys, do you want to come over this way?
The rattling sound in the background is B1 footballs.
Now what we're going to do to start off is to pass the ball around to our left on the word go. We'll start off with Danielle. We're going to be using one ball at a time, and we're going to go around to our left on the word go. Yes. Go.
Norwich goalball team was set up in late 2008 by Nick Clark.
I used to work and live in Hull and went to university there to do a sports science degree, and as I was graduating I started to manage the university sports centre, and as part of that I volunteered with the Hull University team. Basically I just opened the facilities up to them and helped set up the goals, and through them they put me on the Goalball Leaders Award, which was run through British Blind Sport at the time.
Would you say that the team still wants other people to join, like just because of that, like you say, the community feel? Do you think the team needs new people?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got two new players tonight who we've never seen before, so they're playing for the first time. And the great thing is that all the players are so friendly and they want to help each other out and they want to talk to each other and they want and they kind of coach each other. So I can wish for a better little team.
Okay, so just to come in here, you're obviously hearing this chopped up a little bit because obviously I wasn't going to play the whole of each article to you. There was a couple of sports related things there. That was blind football and goal ball. I mean, a lot of people have heard of goal ball through the Paralympics, and as the same with the blind football as well. What we're hearing now is some teaching going on at Think Tank in Birmingham. And obviously I did the music and composed. I actually composed the music to this myself. So and then put the whale sounds and all the rest of it over the top, and the water and blah blah blah. Speak to you in a bit. This one's all about really touch dance.
You know, help me with confidence in this sort of thing, and it's really different. I mean, obviously we did the walking around the space, and although some people that might look a bit daffy, you know, it gives you an idea of what the space is about, and, you know, doing the different movements between different people, it helps you. Obviously with a vision impairment, you're not so confident about doing that sort of thing, but it helps you with that confidence, and, you know, helps you to feel more able to move. Well, usually you don't, you know, when you dance, you don't think about the other person, and this has got to, you know, make you think about how they move and how you can move together. And when you do the ledge movement, 1 minute one person's leading and then the next minute the other person's leading, and then eventually you get to the point where you don't know who's doing what. And but it's really nice because you can think, oh wow, this is quite different, but it is really, really nice.
Thank you.
Misha the dog and Kenna the trainer, who's going to take me for a little walk and talk me through what she would for someone who's just being trained.
Okay, now I'm going to have Nisha on my lead as well, which is what I would always do, so that, you know, I've got control of the dog as well, and then you can just relax and have and get the experience of how it feels being guided by a dog. Dog's always on your left, so if you pick the handle up with your left arm,
yeah,
the left hand, and then have your arm roughly in line with your left leg, not hard and rigid, just try and keep it as relaxed as you can, and that's the position that you'll be in when she's guiding you. Now I'm going to talk you through some of the basic foot positions. What we'll do is we'll work on the how to start off and how to stop the dog, and we'll just go in a straight line. Okay, so if you bring both feet forward to roughly to where the dog's shoulder is, and then as you're walking, the dogs really like it if you just talk to them. You can just say, good girl, straight on.
Good girl, Nisha. Straight on.
That's it.
Straight on.
And then Nisha's trained to walk in what we call a straight line. So she will avoid obstacles as you're going along that line, but you're going to be following the road on the right. And as you come to a corner or a side road, she shouldn't go around the corner, she should go straight up to the kerb. As she stops, if you take a step forward, so you're up at her shoulder, and you'll feel the up kerb come now, step up, and then any time now, we'll get you to stop.
Okay, so that was all about guide dogs. The touch dance door thing is really rather cool. I'm not sure how clear that actually was there, but the theme, the reason for talking about the sea and everything, or having sounds of the sea, was really because that was the theme of one of the dances they did. And obviously guidedogs.org if you want to get more out of the guide dogs and what they do. Well, firstly, get a life. This is David Blunkett talking to one of the young people about politics. What are the three things that he would recommend the young people do in order to get into politics?
So you'll want to choose the political party which is nearest to your views, because no political party entirely reflects how you feel. It's a two-way street. You put your 10 penneth in, and you compromise in the sense that, you know, you're having a dialogue with other people in your party at local level. The further you go in politics, the more you'll want to influence people in the direction that you want to take, and that's how it should be. And we still haven't found a method within the main political parties of making sure that every individual party member really does feel that they've got a proper say. It's quite difficult to do that when things are moving so quickly. Secondly, be very careful what you put on social media, because in my day, unless you wrote something deliberately, it's very unlikely that anybody's going to return to what you said or done in the past. Whereas now, at the press of a button, people can find out what it was that you put on Facebook or even on Twitter, and that might come to bite you. Thirdly, when you've chosen the political party that's nearest to you, just get involved at local level. Join the local branch and find out what they're doing. A lot of it will be quite tedious, because life's like that. Some of it will be really interesting. And try and work out what it is that you're particularly interested in. Is it education, health, environment, a whole range of things, the economy? Because if you can not specialise to the point where you shut other things out, but if you can specialise a little, people will take you more seriously because they realise that you know more about it.
Recently, I appeared on a BBC drama called Silent Witness. This is about my experience as a professional actor. Enjoy.
did end up being in Silent Witness?
Well, it was actually an agency called Visibility who find specifically roles for visually impaired people but general disabilities as well, and try and convince producers and directors that when there's a role for a blind person, it's quite often the blind person who can play the role best rather than, you know, a person who's acting blind. They were looking for a 13-year-old blind boy to play a part in, or they would call it a big BBC drama. I think the hardest bit was probably learning the script, because at that point the script wasn't even finished yet. They were still only drafts.
Wow. And then did you know, by that time you knew it was Silent Witness, did you?
Yes,
was that anything you'd ever watched on television?
Yes, it was quite odd actually, because I do like the series. It was quite surreal to be acting alongside people I'd seen on TV. There was Amelia Fox, who used to play more ghosts in Merlin. I was sharing a trailer with her, which is really odd.
She's amazing, isn't she? Was she nice?
Yeah, she's really nice. I didn't actually meet her because we were never filming on the same days, but I only met her at the wrap party after the film. I've got photos of me just kind of lounging around on the sofa in the trailer.
Do you think the script was stereotypical of blind people?
They adapted the script. Like, there was a bit, for example, when originally they were going to do a bonfire scene, but they didn't want to do that in case I stepped into the flames or something.
Okay. So they're a bit overprotective.
I think they were a bit overprotective, and like, some of the script was like, oh, poor little blind Johnny not being able to do this type thing. Generally, I think it was quite good at encompassing all kind of aspects of being blind. Like, instead of using a cane, they suggested echolocation, for example. There were scenes where I had to kind of run along alleys and stuff. So I think that's kind of made me feel a lot more confident about what I can and can't do.
Well, it really pushed your boundaries.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I've been having kind of some hard times at the moment with my sight kind of going and stuff because of my eye condition. And I think that's kind of really helped me kind of, not overcome it, but kind of go over the fact that just because I can't see, I can't do anything type thing.
Are you going to be an actor?
I'd consider it.
What would you say to any other young person with a disability who might think about auditioning for things, going into things? Would you...
There's no point going for it if you're not confident in yourself. You have to have self-belief and faith that you can do it, rather than say, I'll go in for it, but I don't think I'll do it. You have to believe that you will succeed. Otherwise, you don't convey that, how much you want it. You've got to want to succeed, but definitely if you're thinking of going in for something, then go for it.
So, everyone, I hope you found that interesting. I hope that I didn't interrupt too much. It's just trying to get the right balance there so that you had some context. But that is me, a little bit about what I do, and a way of showing you that in terms of audio and something that's interesting. I hope you also found the contributors inspiring. Certainly, I did. Not necessarily just because they're visually impaired, but all because I am as well. But really just because of the level at which people are determined to progress and to move forward and do their thing. So, I'm off. I'm going to enjoy the rest of my tomato soup, and I'll speak to you all soon. Bye for now.